Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design, the podcast that dives deep into the heart of thriving through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. If you aspire towards exceptional parenthood and are looking to navigate the joys and challenges of raising children in our fast-paced world, you've found your tribe. I'm Philippa Scott and...
I'm Philippa Cox. Together we're Philippa Squared. Unpacking the real talk on modern parenting, peeling back the layers of its complexity from pregnancy and birth to the adventures beyond. This podcast is your guide to unraveling the nuances of parenting in today's world.
And we're keeping it real, sharing stories and having conversations with insightful guests, giving you clarity and direction on your parenting journey.
This is where your adventure begins. Transforming the challenge into a journey of wonder and joy, where you discover ways to craft your own parenthood map, not just follow the one handed down to you.
So settle in, get comfy, and let's laugh, learn, and grow into the parent you aspire to be. Welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Hello and welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design. Today in our episode, we have Dr. Luz, who has over two decades of experience in the field of education. Over that time as a classroom teacher, principal and professor, Dr. Luz has worked with hundreds of parents to create families that learn and grow together and currently consults with schools, parent groups and individual families to share her warmth and wealth of knowledge. We look forward to sharing this with you. Hello and welcome to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design. Today we're super excited to have Dr. Lux with us. I've told you all about her in the intro, but it would be wonderful to hear from the woman herself. Dr. Lux, please tell us about yourself and what brings you to Philippa Squared, Parenting by Design.
Yes. So I feel that there's a really nice fit between the work that we are all doing with parents. You're working with parents at the beginning of their journey, and I'm sort of continuing on. And I'm Dr. Luz Cascajo-Johnston, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area in Northern California in the United States. So our paths crossing is such a beautiful thing. That means that good work is being done all over the world. And that to me is extremely heartening. I'm excited about that. It's so good. We just have such a lot in common with how we're trying to work with parents.
Totally.
Yes, it's just lovely.
Just a preface for today's recording. If you all hear something weird, we have my grandbaby on board today. She's currently sleeping in the wrap. But if you do hear anything weird, my apologies in advance. Now, Pippa, you found Dr. Luz. You've had associations with her before. Tell us about that. How did you find Dr. Luz?
Yes. Well, our paths crossed on the internet and we connected through a lovely Zoom meeting, didn't we?
Yes.
And we just had a lovely conversation and I just wanted to speak to you on this podcast so much because I love your philosophy. And I love the work you're doing. Are you able to explain a little bit about what we were talking about on our Zoom call before about consistency in parenting and what you're doing in this space?
Yeah, my background is that I was a teacher and a principal. I was a principal for 7 years and also a professor in a teacher education department. So I've been working over 20 years with adults, either parents or teachers or soon-to-be teachers, on how to become leaders in their classrooms. And guess what? The good stuff is good. And the things that we use as parents are also the things that teachers need to know. And they're also the things that are helpful no matter what age. So over my years in the classroom as a principal and as a professor, what I've noticed, so now the things that I talk about are what I like to say time and situation proven, because it's not just me, I did it myself, but it's the things I did for myself that I then passed on to teachers when I was a principal and what I passed on to parents and then what I passed on to teachers and training. And the good things are good. What I was talking about with consistency is that we often say, or parents are often would tell me, they often tell me now, teachers would tell me, I want to be consistent, but I can't. Or I don't know how. Or I'm really consistent and then I'm not. And what I found about consistency is it's not about the what or the how, it's about the who. So often when we're talking about parenting, people want to know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What are the tricks? What are the tips? What are the hacks? And it's honestly not about those things. Because if that were true, there would be one book. It would have the same things in it. Everybody would follow it. Boom. Perfect parents all around. But there's that piece about consistency that I think people find is a mystery. And it's actually rooted a lot in what Philippa, we were talking about, a little bit about what we bring to parenting. So what I like to say is that parenting is actually not about the children. People think that parenting is about what I do to the children or what I get the children to do for me. But it's not at all. It's about who we are as parents. And what I find is that parenting can be the second space for us to heal what we need to heal. Because our inconsistency lies in our unhealed places. Do you
agree? I love this. Absolutely. And I just made that. Love this.
I love this. This is being recorded. Sometimes I say things and then people are like, that was amazing. And
I know,
like,
me too.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I think I actually said to someone yesterday, parenting would be so easy if there weren't kids involved, right? But it is actually, I agree with you, you know, I have a parenting program which is designed for parents of any age. It's ideal to do it before you have children because then you can do your work. But it actually is really, it's useful all the way through, but it doesn't start with the hacks. It actually starts with what are my values? What's important to me? How do I be on the same page as my partner? What are the things I need to know here, you know, about me?
What even is the page, Philippa? Like, on the same page. We don't even know that there's a book. So is there a book? Is there a chapter?
Yeah.
Is there a page? We don't know. Well, I think the other thing I think is that people are in general, and this is not just about parents, this is people in general, are very hard on themselves. And there's a lot of either or thinking. So I'm either a good parent or I'm a bad parent. I'm either doing well or I'm not doing well. And there's so much in between. The in between is where we learn, right? So when I say that parenting is an opportunity to heal, it is, because the things that our children bring up in us, depending upon their developmental age, will often signal to us places where when we look at development, we can look at what is really the thing is to be. It's to be and be accepted. Well, if I have a learning from my own upbringing or from what I hear out in society, we hear a lot of really unhelpful things. Let the baby cry. Don't pick them up. You've got to teach them to self-soothe. I do personally believe in self-soothing, but when we try and look at, I feel like there's logic trees, right? So it's like, if this, then this. If they've cried for 30 minutes, then do. That's all here in the front part of our brain. That's the cognitive part of our brain. But really what we can do is we can like be in our bodies and know that, you know what, this feels uncomfortable. This feels like my child needs me to hold them. And there can't be anything wrong with that. Do you know what I'm saying? I think there's a lot of things out there about what we are supposed to do. And so that is in direct conflict with what we needed as infants. We all know this. We know that infants need to be held. We know that infants need to be comforted. And so when we go against that natural instinct, then that causes the inconsistency. Do you see that?
I'm sorry.
Here's one thing I believe this thing, it doesn't feel right. So sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. And guess what? Both instances feel bad. That's what inconsistency is. It's, I'm going to do the thing that feels unnatural, then I'm going to do the thing that feels natural, then I'm going to go back and forth and back and forth. When if we just feel into it, we can say to ourselves, like Philippa was talking about, what is my vision for my family? I want to have a close and connected family. So what does that mean about me? How do I get to be consistent? It's by being still, right? It's by knowing ourselves. It's by trusting our own instincts. I'm also not saying that we just pick up a, you know, we're consistent. There are ways that don't work for children. But I think the first thing is to start to believe in what we naturally know.
Yeah.
And we talked that is what leads to consistency.
We talked about that on a recent podcast, didn't we, Pippa, about the idea of intuition and instinct and why we're so disconnected from it often. And I think I love what you're saying there, because it's far easier to be consistent when we understand the why behind what we're doing. You know, if one of our core values that we want to pass on to our children is honesty, then we're not telling our children in November that Santa's going to bring them coal if they're naughty through November, right? Because that's not honest.
Right.
So we need to, when we understand and can articulate those values and we know what it is that we want, and you're right, we vision ahead. We, you know, who's the 20-year-old we want to sit across the table from? Who's the 15-year-old we want to be sitting in the car next to? Who's the 10-year-old we want to be dropping off at school? You know, and actually knowing the kind of person we're looking to parent and then bringing that back, because that will inform the consistency. That tells us what's our true purpose here. What are we looking for in that space?
I think Casey has a question.
A high five.
I thought she had a question.
She got a high five? Facebook up everyone, so things are going to get fun.
No, it's true, though.
But she looks like such a happy baby.
She's a very happy baby, aren't you?
Yeah.
But she has the value, she has the, Paisley has the, she has a young mum who does a beautiful job, but she does a beautiful job because she's super supported, and she has my 21 years of parent coaching and all of that stuff to help her remember her whys and remember what she's doing and how to bring that back to being consistent and following her heart and her intuition and doing what feels right every time, not what the book says.
Yeah. And also I would assume and I would think that besides doing everything that instinctually, there's also sometimes I'm tired and I don't do the best. And sometimes, you know, life gets to me and I'm not the best. And there's an innate sense of, I need to slow down. I need to forgive myself. I need to nurture myself. And that's really important too. It's not the idea that everything, that we will be perfect parents is not a reality. And it's not okay. And it's the problem that we see in Instagram, in Facebook, in TikTok. It's these curated visions of what living should be, when living is living in the imperfection and leaning into it. Yeah. I'm going to blow it.
Yeah.
Failure is an option.
Yeah. And I was actually talking to Judith Richards yesterday, who's the creator of TRTP, the process that I use. And she said, you know, we were talking about parenting and about put your hands over your ears, kids. We talked about fucking it up. And she said, it's actually in the job description to fuck it up. She's like, I'm the poster girl for that. She said, I have done that more than anyone. It doesn't mean, so yes, we're going to do it. And it all comes back to our intention and the really round setting that intention and having compassion and grace for ourselves in that. Hello, beautiful girl. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to be that way too. As coaches, we need to say, listen, I am not perfect. I messed up. I'm still on this journey. And I think the biggest turning point for me in my parenting was that I did mess up. And I'll be really honest and frank about it. I was the first year of starting a charter school. I'm starting a Montessori charter school, one of the first teachers there. And my daughter was in my friend's class because I knew 100% that she could not be in mine. Just knew. Not in her nature. So she was in my friend's class, and my friend and I, Sybil, we did all of our teaching together, and we did all of the projects together. And my daughter was so convinced that I did not know what this, it was a project about animals. And she had told me, my daughter, that no, that's not how Miss Sybil said to do it. No. And I was thinking like, whatever, I actually created this project. So I 100% know how this is done. And we got into it, and I had to sit back and say, like, you know, like, I am arguing with a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. And yeah. I got so upset with her. I'll be completely frank and honest. I got so upset that I kind of like patted her on the face, like, you're being hysterical. And this is the moment when I realized I do not want to be this parent. And not only do I not want to be this parent that loses it, that hits their child, I don't want to be the parent that doesn't own it. So I left the situation. I said, you know what? That was not okay. Give mommy like 2 minutes. I'm going to go in and do some deep breathing. And I vocalized all of it. This is a huge thing for me, was to talk about it, to say like, that was not okay. I need to go care for myself. I need to forgive myself, and then I need to come back. So I said, you get to choose whatever you want to do right now, because we need to do some repair. And she went up and did it. I don't remember what she did. But, you know, we kind of calmed down, separated, did our things on our own. And then in a moment, I did like the hardest thing that I thought I would ever do, which was to look at my 6-year-old and say, what I did is not okay. Hitting is never an option. I lost my cool. And this is something I did. And I'm looking at you today because I'm asking you for forgiveness. This was never something that was done for me. And I don't want that to continue. And that was like, I mean, so I tell that story not to talk about like, and then it was happy Rosie the whole time, but it was so much easier because I realized, oh my goodness, being a parent doesn't mean I am superhuman.
No.
It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I can be whatever I want to be in this relationship. And what I want to be is honest. Mm-hmm. And what I want to be is somebody that models for my child what it means to repair a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the things that I point out for parents in that story is the vocalization, the talking about it. Without over-explaining, I've seen that too, and it's not great. But just talking about it, you know, naming my feelings. I'm feeling really frustrated right now. I also feel really sad right now because I hit you, and that's not okay. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do what I need to do to feel better so that I can always treat you with love and respect. And so from that point on, and I did this not only with my children, but in the classroom and as a principal. From that point on, I used that technique. I would say, I only want, and I would put my hand over my heart. And we know there's a lot of somatic exercises that prove scientifically that this is what you do. I just put my hand over my heart and I would say, I only want to treat you with love and kindness and respect. And right now I cannot do that. Let me just take a minute or a moment. Sometimes I would do that in the classroom. I'd say, hold, please. Miss Lewis has got to gather her spirit. I'd say, I'm gathering my spirit. Literally, like, bring it into my heart. And I'm telling you, I've done that forever and ever in every situation, every professional situation, which is something that people don't talk about, that you can actually recover in a moment. You can, like, separate yourself from the moment. You can care for yourself in the moment. And I think if parents, if that was like the one thing I left on the planet, That would be it. That would be all I needed to do. Was just to, one, gather yourself, two, forgive, or two, separate yourself, and ask for forgiveness. I think that's such the key. And I don't know. I mean, this was personally not something that was part of my growing up. And, you know, in that moment in, you know, 2001, I made a decision because I knew that if I say I'm not going to repeat the patterns that my parents, that I experienced, then I must do something different. And that something different is something I don't know. And that something different is something that I need to explore and be curious about. And that something different is not going to come by experiencing more shame and guilt, which is also what I experienced growing up. So I had to put all of those, you know, if I say I want this, I have to care for myself. I have to educate myself. I have to learn the things that are going to really support me in this. And then I just sort of passed it on to people.
It's interesting. Yeah. One of the things Pippa and I talk about often in our conversations is, and one of the things that inspired the name for this podcast, the Parenting by Design, is that we have these unconscious scripts that run in the background. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the way we were parented, the way our parents were parented, that generational stuff, it comes in and it sits in our unconscious as the scripts that we go to. And there's lots of talk around, you know, conscious parenting, and to be conscious of it is amazing. But when the proverbial hits the fan, it is not your conscious that's going to take over. When you are tired, when you are stressed, when you are frustrated, it is your unconscious script that's going to come out. And that's when you hear your mum, right? And you're like, oh, when did she show up, right? Like, that's who I'm trying not to be. Right. And so but it's what comes out, because that's what your unconscious is programmed with. So in order to actually show up in a conscious way, we need to consciously make the decision to rewrite what's in the unconscious, choose what that is so that we can show up the way we want to, because we are going to get tired. We are going to get frustrated. We are going to be at our wit's end on occasion, because that's what parenting is. So we need the unconscious stuff to be what we've chosen it to be, not what we were programmed for it to be. And that's where doing the real work, doing the emotional work for ourselves. And I've lots of people have talked to me in the past, and I've had to say to them, the hardest time you have as a parent is very often the hardest time you had as a child. So whatever, yes, whatever age you were when it was hardest for you, that's likely to be the time you really are unable to be the parent you want to be, because you have to grow through that again. But what if we could avoid all of that? What if we could do the work before we get there so that we don't have to reparent ourselves as we're parenting our children, so that then they have to do it in the next. Mm-hmm. This is what really breaking the cycle is, right? It's actually showing up and not doing the work along with our children, but doing the work for ourselves and then parenting our children.
Right.
Yeah, that's my little rant.
No, and we see that's funny, because we say that in the, to teach the children where you have the most to learn. So people become preschool teachers or middle school teachers. Middle school teachers are the most interesting of all, as you can imagine, because middle school is a very interesting time of life. Yeah. And it draws to it a really interesting group of people. But I think the opportunity is to do both, right? It's to do the work before the children are. And if we don't, to know that work is always available to us. And when we do that work, it is for us, it is for the generations after us, and it also, by the way, helps us to repair our relationships with our parents.
Yeah.
Helps to see them as individuals. Helps us to see that. And I also want to speak to the fact that some children all across the world experience abuse. all different kinds of abuse. And I'm not condoning that. I'm not saying like you forgive everything. I'm saying that you recognize that these are flawed humans.
Mm.
And your experience has nothing to do with your wholeness. Mm. What you experienced has everything to do with the adults in your lives not being able to connect with their wholeness.
Yeah.
Because people who are whole and people who feel their worthiness do not do the kind of things to children that some children experience.
So
Can we just pause there? Because that is gold.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
That is absolute gold. And I think that's something you've said so many gold nuggets in this podcast. I'm just loving it, absolutely loving it. But because of the trauma of abuse, the victim, in inverted commas, you know, we blame ourselves.
Yeah.
And to recognize exactly what you're talking about, that it is a flawed human that did that to us, and not take on that victim mentality, that victimness, is absolutely beautiful.
And that's actually what keeps us. I've been in trauma therapy. This is coming from my own personal experience. What keeps us stuck in trauma is not healing the trauma. So when we experience something, either big or little t trauma, we must do what is the number one reason for our existence, which is to belong and to be significant. And so we contort ourselves in a number of different ways to do that. Mm-hmm. If we're in a situation where we are not physically or emotionally safe, we must do the things to not get hurt again. And that wound, if it's not healed, is still very hot. We've all had physical wounds, right, where it's just red and raw and you can't touch it. So that wound continues to be there. So we will resist the things that could get us wounded. So if, as a child, we say to ourselves, because we don't know, also when we're children, we don't have the ability to sit beside ourselves and heal ourselves. So we just will say that is good or that is bad. So if for some reason we experience little t or big t trauma, and everybody does, little t at least, we will come to a belief that keeps us safe. My belief might be my needs are not important.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that belief is the underpinning of my needs are not important. And so, you know, because you work with parents, what that becomes.
Yeah.
If my underlying belief is my needs are not important, then it becomes doing everything for everyone else and not doing for ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we have children, that is the critical moment when we need to do things for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
and
exactly.
We know that people-pleasing is linked to higher rates of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
People pleasing is trauma, right? Like, and when we have those core beliefs, the catch 22 on it is that those beliefs go into our unconscious. They form the foundation of our life. They become part of our self identity, and my car has lane assist, right? And it keeps me in the safe lane, the lane that I've chosen. when my unconscious belief is my needs don't matter, my car will keep me in the my needs don't matter lane. And if I try to change lanes without putting the indicator on, without healing the trauma, then I won't be able to change lanes without fighting the car. It'll just bring me straight back to that lane, right? But what happens then is, even if we consciously want to do things for ourselves and do, you know, maybe say no to someone who's asked us to do something when it's not convenient for us, even if we know that's where we want to go, we often won't do that. No, we will come back to what is safe for our unconscious. Our unconscious says that's the safe lane, and its job is to keep us safe.
So we actually have to heal the trauma. We have to rewrite the unconscious beliefs in order for us to shift lanes and move into, it is safe for me to say no because I am important and I matter too. Mm-hmm. But we actually have to do the work to flick the switch to change lanes, because otherwise it will keep drawing us back to the same pattern in our life, right, even if we're aware of it.
Yeah, and let me bring this back to parenting. So how this manifests in parenting. And we'll just stick with this this belief, my needs don't matter.
Yeah.
You can imagine what that means. That means my child, it could mean things like, my child is interested, so my grounding is mostly in elementary. So my child wants to go to karate, and they want to go to dance, and they want to learn the violin. So I'm going to run them all over the place for that, even though I'm really tired. I haven't had a sandwich. I haven't had lunch. I didn't bathe this morning. You know, we know women who do this. We know men who do this too. What it means is my needs are not important. Teenage years means, oh, okay, you want to go out with those people, but in my gut, oh, I know that this is not a good situation. But I don't want to rock the boat because my needs don't need to be met. Also looks like I don't want to rock the boat, which is another version of people pleasing. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want my child to be pissed off at me. Okay, you can go. I'm going to go to this party. And, oh, are the parents going to be around? No, they're not. Oh, I don't know. Mom, you never let me do anything I want. That's how that shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the good news is that it can be healed. Those little people inside of us who made these decisions, again, by the way, to keep us safe, is to show them gratitude and to update them. You know, for me, thank you, little ladies. I know that not my needs being met is something that we put in so that we would never, ever get hurt. I'm so sorry that you experienced that. I wish for you that you had an adult like me. So I'm going to show you all the ways I said no, and it worked out. Because they don't just need updating. They need to sit with you in your lap, and they need you to walk with them through your life. Let me get something for you, because this is a little special person. I'm actually a very avid crocheter.
Oh, beautiful. I love crocheting. It's one of my favorite things to do when I have time free with my hands, which I don't currently, but I do love to crochet.
When I was doing my therapy work, my therapist said, you know, it might be helpful for you to have a picture of yourself or to have something that represented you that you could take along with you. So I made Little Luz.
You made her? She's adorable.
And my hair did these things.
For those just on audio, Dr. Luz has created or crocheted herself a little doll that looks remarkably amazing. I don't know how you manage that. That's perfect.
I'll take a picture and send it to you.
That'd be great.
I would sit with little Luz and I would say, listen, little Luz, I understand that, you know, there was a time in your life and you decided that this belief is important that you keep us safe. I get it. Totally understandable. So let me walk you through our life and show you how we said powerfully no, and it worked out, and we were safe, and we were loved, and we were accepted. And once she believes that and sees the evidence of it, then she can let go of the grip on the steering wheel of our lives, right? Because we don't want little Luz to be, you know, steering our car down the road without lane assist. She doesn't need to do that. And actually, little Luz wants to go off and play and be in the mud, because that's what I wanted to do. So this is what's keeping us from not being from being consistent. It is those beliefs that we have, because what we say we want is here, but our beliefs kick on. And just like Philippa was saying, it keeps us in the lane that we don't actually want to be in. And that actually isn't helpful and supportive. It may not even be going in the direction. You know, it might be veering off onto another highway going to a destination we don't want to go, because we don't want to pass that on. If we are people pleasers, we know for certain it doesn't feel good, and we know for certain we don't want to pass it on. But unless we interrupt the cycle, talk to that little person who made that contract and belief, and then update them, we're not going to get into consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
love this. Love this.
Yeah.
Love this. I could talk for you for hours, really, Dr. Liz. We've got so much wisdom, so much knowledge, but we'll have to wrap it up pretty soon. So we've talked about so many incredible things, but to just wrap it up, I'm going to do that typical podcast final question, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're on the world stage.
Yeah.
You've got the whole world in front of you, and they are looking at you, and you can pass on three pearls of wisdom that will help humanity on for generations and generations and generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
To end this podcast, what are those three pearls of wisdom?
Yeah, just to recap what we have been talking about. Number one, there's a little person inside of you that is running and steering the ship of your life, and they're not a villain. That's number one. Number two, the beliefs that that little person installed were for your self-preservation, and they can be uninstalled and rewired. That's two. The third thing is that our healing is the place where we can grow the next generation. Our healing is the most important work we can do. It's not the job that we have outside the home. It is not the accolades. It's not the Instagrammable moments. Our job is to heal and heal others.
Wow.
It makes it a little bit more simple, right? You don't have to have anyone ask you what you want to do for a living. You can just say, I want to heal. And actually, I could do that in any job.
So Dr. Liz, how would people work with you if they wanted to work with you? What does that look like for them, and how can they find you?
Okay, so I have a website, and right now they can go to drluz.live/links and take a look at my links. I do coaching. I do one-on-one coaching. I do work with parents that are in a partnership, but I like to work with each parent separately, because what tends to happen is we sort of like, oh, that's what you said on that. They have their own special time, and that's really important. I also do some group coaching as well. And that will be, I'm new to coaching, so my world has been in the field of Montessori teaching and consulting, and I'm moving into parenting. So I'm doing one-on-one coaching now, and then I'll be offering some group coaching starting in July. So,
That's in the parenting space, coaching for parenting. Yeah. Lovely. Okay. Yep. Fabulous. We are going to put your links in our show notes.
Okay. Perfect.
So that people can find you there. If the listeners are looking to work with Pippa, her link's in the show notes as well. And for mine, they're also in the show notes. I just wanted to, I guess, put a bit of a, and I'll put a caveat in too for the, at the beginning, you know, if stuff has been brought up for you here around trauma, it is really important that you get some professional help. It's not, if you feel that this is too big and this is bringing up a lot for you, then please reach out. That is the space I work in. So if you are feeling dysregulated by what you've heard today, or if you're feeling like you need to resolve some stuff in your body, then please reach out. Don't feel like you need to be alone in that space. Even just drop me an email. But yeah, please reach out, because yes, we are talking about the big stuff here on this podcast, the things that matter and the things that are going to get you through, but we also don't want to leave you hanging, and we don't want you to be in a worse place for having heard it and not know how to fix it. So
yeah, please do reach out. It's really important. Dr. Luz, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Pippa told me I'd enjoy a conversation with you, and I absolutely have.
Yeah.
I absolutely have. I look forward to following your stuff and seeing, yeah, what you're doing in this space is just beautiful, because it's all about helping make sure that the next generation has a better experience, but also that this generation has a better experience.
Yeah.
Parents of today have enjoy that journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're so incredibly busy and stressed, and it's just a whole different world now.
Mm-hmm.
Different world. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your wisdom with us, Dr. Luz.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me. I've had such a pleasure connecting with people across the actual planet. Again, it gives
me, I love this.
I know, it just makes my heart so full knowing that many people are working on this.
Yeah.
Many people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay. Thanks again. And bye for now, everyone. We look forward to the next episode.
Yeah. Thank you. Goodbye.